Welcome, friends, to the Girl Mom Podcast. This is Carrie Kampakis, your host. Today, I'm bringing on two past guests with very special news. And if you've listened to the show, then you may know the story of how they've been dating and fallen in love. Well, I am thrilled to officially report that Will and Mary Lauren are now engaged. And to me, it's just a reflection of what is good and right in the world, and also in what God can do in the lives of our children when they are truly seeking Him. So what we're going to talk about today is something that is hard but essential once you found the person that you want to marry, and that is talking about your past and not bringing big secrets into your marriage. Now, I know that everybody has different opinions about this topic, and some people get married without sharing their past or wanting to know who their future husband or wife has been with, but I personally think that's a mistake. When you get married, you become one. Your lives and your past get intertwined, and who wants to be in the most intimate relationship known to man and be in the dark on something that shaped the person you love and want to build a life with? I personally would never want some random person coming up to me in 10 years after I got married and telling me some juicy news that I didn't know about my spouse. As they say in Alcoholics Anonymous, our secrets make us sick. And while we certainly don't need to broadcast our secrets on social media or share them with random people, God did create marriage as a safe place to help us grow and transform into the image of Christ. A huge part of this transformation is learning to live in the light and also to bring to the light the secrets that hold us back and keep us stuck in shame, fear, and condemnation. In the Bible, in 1 John 4:18, it says that perfect love casts out fear. The one who fears has not been perfected in love. The Bible also says that love forgives a multitude of sins, and thank God for that, because we're all sinners in need of a Savior and also in need of people here in the world who love us with a heart like Jesus despite our mistakes and stumbles. I'm so thankful that Will and Mary Lauren suggested this topic as a podcast episode, and I know already that what they have to share will not only set people free, but also help us work through those gut punch moments when we hear something that's hard to hear about someone we love and choose to keep loving them now that we know that they're not perfect. If you enjoy this podcast, please leave a 5-star review wherever you listen and share it with friends. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the show. Welcome back, you two. This is so fun to have you here together, especially on the brink of the exciting news. Yes. I think when we planned this episode, y'all weren't engaged yet.
That's
so
right.
A lot has happened in the last few weeks.
Similarly to when we planned Will's podcast, we weren't dating yet.
That's right. When we, I don't know how we roped you into it, but
yeah.
It's all God's work and timing.
The Girl Mom Podcast is a formative part of our relationship.
Yeah.
No kidding.
I know. We were teasing Will when he came in. Like, who would have thought? How old are you? 22?
23.
Yeah. At 23 years old, you would be on the Girl Mom Podcast.
It's like, just always been a calling on my life to be on the Girl Mom Podcast. I just knew. And
that's right. The Lord works in mysterious ways.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that this is such a great topic that y'all were talking about. And, you know, when you suggested it, I think y'all sent me a list of different topics. And it stood out to me because it's something I wrote about in 10 Ultimate Truths Girls Should Know. In the chapter on boys, I talked about how, you know, one day when you decide on the person you're going to marry, you're going to have that hard conversation. And mm-hmm. both of you, you know, sharing your past. And everybody decides what they want to hear and how much they want to share. But it's definitely a conversation that needs to be had. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you sent that as a topic idea, I was like, you know, we really don't hear a lot about that conversation. It's not really out there. And I do think that, especially for teenagers or people who are just on the brink of dating, it's so helpful to know things like this up front. Going into it, just because, you know, learn from those ahead of you, you know, just kind of think about, sometimes that's what keeps us on the straight and narrow, is just thinking about, like, one day I'm going to have to share this with somebody, or, you know, this might feel right now, but down the road, maybe not so much. And so anyway, y'all just, you know, we can kind of start the conversation where you think, as far as, you know, what this has meant to you, you know, as far as how y'all had that hard conversation and what advice you might give to somebody who's looking to do the same.
Well, I feel like the first thing I want to say is just, like, when you've been set free, it's your past experiences that once felt like dark, shameful, embarrassing, and something you wanted to keep under the rug. Those are now things, you know, that God has redeemed and that He's used for His glory. And Will has so clearly been set free. I mean, when I think about him, I think about how if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And it's for freedom He set us free, so we can stand firm in it. And even like Galatians 2:20, mm-hmm. that the life we now live in the flesh with by faith. And Will, like, would tell me these things about his past, not with this, like, cowardly, embarrassed, like, shameful disposition, but with this like joy in his eyes of like, I'm not embarrassed, you know, like, do I regret it? Yeah, I mean, like, there are consequences that come with sin for sure, but like, he viewed his past and his testimony as something that God was using to bring him glory and to bring God glory and to help other people know him. And so, I don't know, I think there was a point in my life where I would have heard about my boyfriend's past and been like, oh, like, you know, pride could have creeped in and being like, well, I, you know, have saved myself from marriage. But I've just like, throughout the years, God has showed me the standard isn't to marry necessarily someone with a perfect past, is to marry and to date someone who knows they need God's grace and who's experienced it and tasted and seen that it's real and it's good. Mm-hmm. And Will's definitely one of those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you bring up a good point though, because I was definitely not thinking to myself in high school and early college, like, I'm going to explain all this stuff to my wife one day, you know, right. Or like, I'm going to give an account about this stuff to God one day, like, mm-hmm. not at all. And I just mm-hmm. think, like, just sin kind of just keeps you so short-sighted and keeps you so like in the exact moment that you're in
where that's
like
so good.
There's just
yes.
so much more that is going to come of this, and all of our decisions are just so much more than just the now and the present. And mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I remember on our first date, I essentially
at La Paz.
I basically we're at a Mexican restaurant here, and basically I gave her like almost my whole testimony on our first date.
And, yeah, you just knew.
Yeah, and like I know in her mind she was maybe like, is he oversharing? Like, why is he saying all
Does
this?
Does he
stuff?
Know anything about emotional boundaries?
right. But it was important to me that like you said, like I didn't want to get really invested down the road, have real feelings, and then I mm-hmm. share something that where she's just like, I just can't handle that, or like, I right. don't want to deal with that. And I was mm-hmm. like, this is when you date me, this is what you're signing up for. Yes. It's like, this is what mm-hmm. You know, the choices that I've made. And
but what was cool about that is everything he was telling me, in some ways it was shocking because you don't normally sit on a first date and he's telling you about the first time he lost his virginity or okay. the time he lost right. his virginity. Like, of course you don't expect to hear that, but there was one part of me that was like, wow, I've never heard a guy so honest so early. Mm-hmm. And it was like shocking, but the other part of me was so softened. I'm like, this guy has the humility. It was almost like he's like, hey, before, you know, we go on a second date, if we get it any further, like, you need to know this. And it wasn't scary, it was so respectable, because I'm like, you know, again, he wasn't embarrassed. Mm-hmm. But also it wasn't just him saying that, like, I had heard things about him before mm-hmm. we went on a date that spoke more highly of him than like I wasn't surprised by what he was saying, because I had heard about like the transformation that had happened in his life, and I had seen the way his church was using him for leadership and the way his football team was using him in leadership. It was just cool. Like, his life also testified to the fact that he was free. It wasn't just that he was telling me, hey, by the way, all these terrible things I've done and now I'm free. It was like, right. It was like, oh wow. Like, I already knew he was free. And on our first day, he's humbling himself to explain, like, this is my story. And like,
yeah, and I think something that's important for people listening, I don't know who they'll be sharing it with, but it might be their son or daughter who's 12 years old or 13 years old, and they mm-hmm. know nothing about dating. And so I guess we need to be clear that this is probably not typical that you would have this conversation on a first date,
right. mm-hmm.
you know, especially if you're dating at 16, 17.
Right.
Correct.
You know, y'all are in a different position because, one, you're 22 and 23. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you're so deep in your faith. You'd had so many life experiences. Like, I think once you met each other, right. you knew off the bat that y'all were mm-hmm. probably going to get married.
Yes.
That's not the case. Harry and I were kind of the same way. We'd been friends all through college, kind of like flirted in college, yeah. but nothing ever happened. But when we started dating, like probably by the second date, we were like, I just knew, you know, we were going to get married. And so not everybody has a dating experience like that.
Right.
So I think it totally made sense for y'all, because y'all were almost probably like emotionally further mm-hmm. yeah. just on your first date than a lot of people might be. And so that's probably something to think about, is like praying for that timing. Like, say you do have a past.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I just remember, you know, growing up and having friends, you know, that sometimes somebody said, well, she just shared too much on the first date, or he shared
yeah.
too much on the first
yeah,
date.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we need God in our life and prayer to say, okay, what's the best path for us? Or when do I need to have this conversation? Or, mm-hmm. you right. know, if we're really talking about marriage, you know, mm-hmm. maybe to have that open conversation, or maybe not have it all at once, maybe a little bit at a time, because mm-hmm. it's going to look different for mm-hmm. everybody.
And I think you just said it too, like, it's important, it's definitely important to note that, like, when we had that conversation, that was not my first time, like, sharing or processing the things that were talked about.
Yes.
You know, like,
right.
I had
yes.
a community of believers, I had brothers in mm-hmm. Christ, I had a mentor, right, I had pastors
yeah.
that I was actively confessing sin to and, like, mm-hmm. working through these things. And that's why, like, with her, I can come and, like, understand what God says about me and like what he says about his work in my life, to where I can just be like, okay, here's the things that have happened. Like, the old is gone and the new has come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, you're right. Like, for a younger person, like you, I mean, better advice than dating is go find a mentor and a brothers to like do life with and like confess sin together and mm-hmm. things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, I was thinking earlier too, that, yeah, I think that your generation too, I mean, these things have always existed in dating or people, you know, whatever, you know, people getting heavily involved before marriage or whatever, but physically. But, you know, y'all's generation, there's not a lot of talk of sin these days. And mm. I was even thinking earlier that so many evangelists and people with huge platforms and influences now, like, they deliberately leave sin out of the conversation. And that's why people like listening to them, because it can make us feel bad, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of people, I think about, especially if you haven't been raised in the church, you haven't heard these things, like, they might fall into that sexual sin mm-hmm. and not even realize it because it's so part of the culture.
Yeah.
And they don't even know it's wrong, or they don't know it's a sin because mm-hmm. it's not a conversation. And so
right.
that's why that whole message of the gospel and Jesus is like being able to look at ourselves and knowing mm-hmm. that, you know, we all mess up, we all make mistakes. And sin does have consequences, you know,
yes.
but God can redeem it all. He yes. makes us new creations in Christ. But really understanding, like, you know, what sin looks like, I don't think your generation probably grew up hearing a lot about it, because mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. as much as maybe my generation did, because so many people leave it out of the conversation to get more followers.
Yeah.
But I think that's why it's so important to talk about it and to be free of it. And I think
right.
we've mentioned this before, that, you know, Harry's Greek Orthodox, and he loves listening to Father Evan and a lot of these you know, these priests that talk about the early church and just share those things. And they said that in the early church, that people used to get up in front of the church and confess their sins. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how freed they were. And I just like, wow, you know, could you imagine that happening today?
Mm-hmm.
That just really, but I mean, you would truly have to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ mm-hmm. to be able to stand up there and declare it like that. But it does, it not only sets you free, but it can set the people
yeah.
around you free too.
Yeah. And I think too, it's funny because Will and I have talked before, where at one point he was like, I keep waiting for the day that I tell you something about my past and you're like, okay, like, that's too much, you know, like
right.
he said that once. And I'm like, I don't know, I just thought for a second, because I literally light up like a Christmas tree when Will's telling me about his past, because he wanted to set free. And it's just, I'm like, oh my gosh, think about all the people that you can relate to now, like all the people who
yeah.
will be set free from your testimony. But also, you have to remember that, like, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I may not have lost my virginity, but, like, I grieve the Holy Spirit and grieve the heart of God in a thousand other ways. And, like, to see your sin is, like, less than someone else's sin is a sin. You know, like, we all need grace. And I don't know, I just think that if you're, like, a single girl out there who's been saving up for marriage, like, praise the Lord. Like, thank you, God. And that will be such a gift to your husband. And if you're a single guy who's a virgin, that'll be such a gift to your wife. Like, please keep pursuing holiness and keep fearing the Lord, because, you know, that there's nothing more satisfying and freeing than living life according to his word. And all it is a gift to the Lord, and it's a gift to your future spouse. But if you have, you know, gone too far, our message is just like, it doesn't define you. You know, like, God makes all things new. There's not a single person, thing, situation he doesn't want to make new. So I just think that there are some girls out there, though, that are like, well, I've been saving myself for marriage, so I deserve someone who also hasn't done that. And you know what? Like, not to be too intense, but we all deserve wrath. Like, that's what we deserve. Like, anything outside of hell is grace. And I think the standard shouldn't be someone who hasn't lost their virginity. It should be someone who knows they need God's grace. And Will is just so defined by that, that it's more attractive, you know, like mm-hmm. if he was someone who had never lost his virginity and like wasn't humbled before the Lord, that would be so unattractive, you know. But so our point is just that whether you've gone too far or not, you know, like, God wants to use your story for his glory and to bless your spouse.
Well, and we talked earlier, too, about how people, everybody's different. You know, some people mm-hmm. will want to know more than others. And so and I think that another thing to consider when you're having that conversation is even if you're wanting to know what your future spouse has done, is like checking your heart.
Yeah.
And knowing, like, what's my motivation in knowing? Like, mm-hmm. I know he used to date this amazing, the most beautiful girl in the world. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, you know, it's almost, you know, is your motivation to get scoop on that person? Or are you going to go down a rabbit hole? Like, okay, now I can't get this out of my head. And I'm, like, going down this rabbit hole and I'm obsessed with this girl. And I'm insecure and I'm jealous and I can't forget this.
Yeah.
So there are so many moving pieces, so I think, to have to this conversation, which is why I think it's so good to go into it prayerfully, knowing, like, what's best for your relationship.
Yes.
And this is something else I thought about as you're talking about, like, you know, choosing your partner. You know, I guess what I think is really, you know, rather than just looking, because you don't know their past when you're choosing somebody, mm-hmm. you know, but really it's just you can't help who you fall in love with, you know. Yeah. So, you know, it might be you fall in love with somebody and you just have that feeling like this is the one. And it might be that they have saved themselves and that's great. Like, it's going to make your honeymoon night even more special. Like, it would be amazing. Or it might be that they do have a past and you have to share it. But, you know, just knowing that God can work in all circumstances and that every relationship is going to be unique and every story is going to be unique.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. Like, you know, and it could be the same thing. I mean, I have friends too, and they, you know, they married guys and they're like, you know, I have one friend, she's like, my husband is like, gets so jealous, you know. Mm-hmm. Luckily, she had a very squeaky clean past, you know, so there wasn't a whole lot he could have been jealous over, but I don't know if he would have wanted to know too much. So let's talk about that, just the differences in personalities and how someone decides when they're in that relationship, like how much is too much to share.
Well, it's funny. I didn't really like give this much thought until we started dating of like, how is that going to go? But it really started, I think, with basically telling her like what I felt like she needed to know. And like, I told her early on, like, I don't want her to walk into a room and be less informed than some stranger, you know.
Right.
I want her to be the most informed person in the room about me.
Yes.
And so there was a couple times where literally we would be somewhere in public and I'd be like, hey, can I talk to you really quick?
Come here, girl.
And I'm like, hey, you see that person? And like, I had to just tell her. And like, that was always honestly terrifying because we're in a public place. I'm like, golly, I gotta. And she's just like, just so graceful. So it's crazy. She's so graceful. But I think it's like, what does she need to know? Like, what's beneficial? And then as the more serious we got, the more it sort of turned to like, what does she want to know? Like, if she asked me a question, I personally at least kind of felt convicted to just tell her the truth and tell her what the answer is.
Right.
And you know, everybody will do things differently. This is just how we ended up doing it. And and there's definitely not a one size fits all, but it was like, it took a lot of discernment and a lot of prayer of like, is this beneficial? Like, is this, when she wants to know something, I'm going to tell her the answer.
Right.
You know? And so like, then it became on her of like, then she also had to think about, why does she want to know? Like, why are you asking?
Mm-hmm. And again, like, I mean, a prayer I would pray when we started going on dates and talking was like, Lord, let everything hidden be revealed. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's anything hidden in Will's life, please reveal it. And our first date, he's like,
revealed it all.
Like, all right, Lord, you answered my prayer. But another prayer I'd pray.
Yeah,
it's like Psalm 16, David says, Lord, like, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. So I started praying, like, God, will you please let the boundary lines for Will and I fall in pleasant places? Mm-hmm. The physical boundary lines, the emotional boundary lines, the spiritual boundary lines. And I think the Holy Spirit really does lead, you know, when you're seeking him like that. Like, Lord, like, you bring things up as you want to in time. And Will, again, is so good about, like, informing me. Because, you know, like, I have friends that are like, how are y'all like that? Like, why, like, how do you, like, know these things about Will and not go and, like, look up that girl on Instagram or, like, have that in your heart for, like, the rest of the time y'all see her? You know, like, how do you, like, not hold on to that? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I just have to know, because I'm the kind of person that would, like, go up to a girl and be like, so who have you dated? And, like, just, like, I need to know things about Will's past. But, you know, that's been a whole nother challenge for me of, like, not challenge, an opportunity for me to just humble myself before the Lord and be like, God, here's this information that Will trusted me with. Like, you show me what to do with it. And yes, that was kind of like a crossroads we came to, because Will told me these things that he felt I needed to know. But I had other questions of, like, I just want to know this, you know? And it might be because, like, I'm a, like, I I just want to know details about everything. But I had to really ask God to search my heart and check my motive. Like, why do you want to know that? Because some things are helpful and some things are hurtful. And like Will would tell me, he's like, I do want to tell you what you want to know, but I also don't want to paint a picture of my sin in your head.
Right.
And that was such a gift to me, yes. You know, and just trusting whoever you're dating or marrying to like have discernment to tell you things. Mm-hmm. Cause he, so much of his past, he's forgotten, like, praise God, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, I don't want to make him like,
right,
focus on like, no, how did that go? You know, like, relive it.
Yeah.
Cause one time he was like, I mean, I don't want to relive this. I'm like, me neither. I don't even want to know anymore. You know, it's just,
yes, that's
so
enough.
It is something you have to be so prayerful about. And there's opportunity for both people to be sinful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's such an exposing feeling too, of like, you know, when I tell my best friends, you know, and my brothers in my small group about these things, all they're doing is like, man, praise God, praise God, praise, thank you for sharing, you're so free, blah blah blah, praise God. And all of a sudden now I'm like in love with this girl, and if I tell her all this stuff, what if she's like, what the heck, you know, like, what if,
right.
And it's such an exposing feeling, but it's such a amazing opportunity for me to get to experience like a small picture of God's grace and the way she responds to me and right. the way that she like receives it. And it's so cool. She really does like actually, you have to understand God's grace. Like when you give it, you have to understand it. And like, she really does understand that and show me so much grace. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
So cool.
Well, I would be missing out if I didn't, you know, like yeah. if I didn't show grace, like he would still be free. I would just be missing out on like knowing this physical example of what God's grace looks like in human form.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, what I've learned, just Harry and I celebrated our 25th anniversary this past June, and I was always the same way. Like, you know, I'm just one of those people, I'm like, I don't want to be caught off guard. So I'm always like, before we got married, like, let's share everything, you know, and put it all out there. But you know what I've learned from being that way, like even now, I'm like, he knows me better than anybody. Like, I feel like I can tell him anything. He could tell me anything. But what I've learned, especially as a writer, I think sometimes people are like, how can you share all this? Like, how can you be so open? And I'm like, because I feel so secure in my core relationships and anything I'm talking about publicly, I've already processed privately with him. And it's like, when they still love you, despite the mistakes or stumbles you've made, it's like, it just helps you. Not only, it's like, that's, I think that's the biggest benefit of marriage, is because when you have that kind of marriage where you can love each other, even as you hear these things, you're like, well, okay, if he didn't turn on me, then maybe other people would still love me too. You know, like it makes it easier for you to be honest with others, which is the way we're meant to live.
I think you guys both just hit on it too, of like, I mean, when Mary Lauren talks about like, let the boundary lines fall in pleasant places, that's also emotional boundaries too. And like, the depth that you're explaining is like, should be our goal for marriage. And as we pursue a marriage, like, that's what we want. But to you know, to the 14-year-old listening, this is not how you should date, you know, like,
and
you
I should think that, let's, because I kind of want to go there, because I feel like moms will be sending this to their kids, like, listen. And so let's talk a little bit about that. Like, there is so much freedom in Christ, and I think these conversations are so important. But like, you know, I think our job as Christians is to help those behind us. Like, I'm like, I tell my kids, I don't want you to repeat my mistakes. Like, if I can share anything to help you make better choices, I will do it with anybody, really. So I guess, what would you tell the person behind, you know, the boys behind you? Because especially, I think it's easier for girls to make those choices sometimes. I know this world makes it hard to do that, boy or girl, but especially for boys. And they're not getting that message out there in the world. I mean, you're the man if you are getting a lot of girls and, you know, you know, looking at them the wrong way. So what would be your advice, like, having come out the other side?
I mean, I think what I wish I understood and like, just really acknowledged to every other guy is, like, a girl's trust is, like, the highest honor, like, on earth that you could ever have, that you could ever get. When Mary Lauren tells me that she trusts me, like, that is, like, the greatest thing you could say. And when you have a girl's trust, like, you need to be a great steward of that. And it literally, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, like, those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. And I think when I was younger, and many other high school guys, like, we don't understand how much of an honor and a responsibility it is to have a girl's trust. And we are so selfish and use their trust to our own advantage and for our own personal gain. And it is, like, when you have a trust, like, you need to be faithful with that and treasure that and treat that well. And when you have a if you're dating a girl, or if you're a girl actually, you know, gives you the time of day, like, you want to build her up with your words, with your actions, with your thoughts, with your everything, with your eyes. Like, build her up and don't use her for your own personal gain and then move on to the next and act like everything's fine. Like, mm-hmm. this is like a real responsibility.
Yeah, that reminds me. I have a few friends that I just, you know, have raised their sons so well. And one thing they've always told their sons that I loved was they would tell them, you know, when you go on a date with a girl, I want you to bring her home in better condition mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. you found her. And one of my friends that told me this, it was her daughter's boyfriend. And the mother, mm-hmm. she and the mother would talk. And she was just saying, as a girl mom, how much she appreciated that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, like that's a healthy relationship. You mm-hmm. know, like that's, I think, the goal of what you want dating to look like, is that enrich her life. You know, yeah. like when you bring her home, she should be in better condition than when you took her out. And I do think that's another message that just gets lost in this mm-hmm. day and age, mm-hmm. that guys just don't hear very much. And probably fathers aren't telling their sons because nobody ever told them that.
Yeah.
I think we forget to, like, you marry one person, hopefully. You know, like, the goal is to give all of yourself, body, soul, spirit, to one person. And everything in our culture does not help us train for that well. It's mm-hmm. the exact opposite. Like, even, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are physically, like, taking advantage of someone and moving on to the next. But even emotionally, like, I remember, like, it feels so good to get attention from, like, as many guys as possible. And, like, it feels so good to get this guy's approval and also this guy's approval. And the second you get tired of him, move on to this guy who's looking at you a certain way. And that does not train you for marriage. It trains you for divorce. It trains you for getting tired of your husband. It trains you for, we're such a fickle, quick fix, constantly changing society with everything, not just with, like, it's with food and with clothing and with Instagram and our attention, but, like, it's also with, like, boyfriends and girlfriends and spouses. Like, we're not trained well in this world to give your whole self to one guy and one girl. And I think that when you're young, just thinking about that, like, I'm going to marry one person and I want the Lord to purify me and sanctify me and prepare me for that person, like, as best as possible. And what's another thing that's cool about Will and I is, like, if we had met 6 months before we did, or, like, even 1 month before we did, like, we wouldn't have been ready for each other. Mm-hmm. And I just, there were definitely times, you know, when I'm graduating Auburn and I have 15 weddings and bridesmaid and, like, all my friends are getting married. And, like, I wondered, I'm like, Lord, did I hear you right? Like, when I was in middle school and you asked me to wait to feel that peace, you know, when it's the right person, like, did I hear you right? Because it seems like, you know, I might be missing out. And it came right on time. Like, when mm-hmm. I met Will, I mean, before that, the Lord had, I had kind of been dating this guy and, like, he had every right thing, like, checked every box, but, like, I did not have the peace. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the Lord was drawing me to be like, God, what would bless you if I had this in a man? And, you know, I've heard so many different things. Some girls are like, I made a list of 100 things and I got all 100 of those things. And then some girls are like, I wasn't even looking for a husband and I bumped into him on the street. It's like, there's not a formula except to seek God about what he's asking you to do in this area. But something he asked me to do, I really feel strongly about, is, like, ask me what to look for. Because normally I would just pray for guys as they were in my life, you know, mm-hmm. and, like, that was great. But then I kind of realized, I have no idea, God, like, what, like, all I know is that I haven't felt peace by anyone up until this point. And great guys that had great qualities. But once I sat with the Lord and had a list of 11 things, actually, which is crazy because Will's number is 11. Like, that's always been his number. Not reading too much into it. But I remember just being blown away because I didn't know if I was, like, 100% hearing God, but I definitely was, like, having dreams, or, like, someone would tell me, like, hey, you're gonna have this, or just things I already knew in my heart I wanted. And I just wrote them down to be like, Lord, I'm giving you this list. I might be wrong on a few things, you know, I'm not, like, attached to this list, but, like, I feel like you gave me these things to look for. And it gave me so much peace when I met Will and he happens to be all 11 of those things. Like, but even if he wasn't, it's just really sweet to seek the Lord while you're single, and while there's not someone in your life, to be like, God, what do you desire? Same with boundaries, making your boundaries before you get into a relationship. Because so many girls are like, oh, I'll just, you know, listen to the Lord as I'm dating someone. But then all of a sudden you're faced with this great temptation and it's harder to discern like what's right from wrong when you're in the moment. Mm-hmm. So really setting the boundaries like before you, like while you're single, before you didn't meet anyone, it will really help be like a compass when you do find the right person.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And also, and I think boy or girl, because you hear about a lot of boy moms, they're like, some of these girls are just as aggressive as the boys.
No doubt.
You know, like that culture has changed since, I mean, we had that when I was growing up, but it has really swung, the pendulum has swung that way. But that's so true, and it's such a test of a relationship that my priest, Father Bob, he's always said that love says I can wait. Mm-hmm. Lust says I have to have it now.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's so true. And so if you are dating somebody and you're trying to set boundaries and they're always pushing those boundaries, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. You've got to have both people on the same page. And so boy or girl, if a guy's trying to set boundaries and it's the girl always pushing it, like to me, I'm like, that's a sign to run.
Yeah. That's right.
Like that's not real love. Like real love wants what is best for that person long term.
Right.
And that's, you know, creating, saving marriage for the context it was created in. And it was created for marriage. And again, I think that's just a message that we don't get in our society because it's just the quick fix, like this person will do for now. And then, you know.
And we talked early in our dating relationship. I was just like, I mean, basically either we're called like to be married or I'm called to prepare you for your husband, whoever that is going to be. And it's like, when I think when you take the mindset of like, this is like when you're dating, this is your sister in Christ, this is your brother in Christ, and you guys are all operating in the same kingdom for the same God, you know. And my only responsibility as her boyfriend was to prepare her for her husband, whether that was me or somebody else. And like at that point, it wasn't going to be me. We didn't know, right? So it's like you need to hold on, you need to try to lead in that way to honor her. And
no, that's good. You know, something else I talked about in 10 Truths, and we might have talked about it in our podcast, Will, but it was something that I shared with my girls just early on, and somebody had shared it with me. I thought that was a good example. But, and these people that I know, they all live in the same community now, and two different girls had dated the same guy in high school. They all grew up together. And with one girl, he had had kind of a friendly, you know, friendly relationship, didn't ever get physically intimate or whatever. And then with the other one, he dated her for like 3 years, and it was very physically intimate. And so they all have kids the same age. And so this is something you don't think about at your age, but you get to be my age. Like, and I'm always like, people come back into your life. Like, you're going to look around back at a PTO meeting, and that person's back there. But you know, what the one who was in the friendly relationship with him, they're friends. Their families are friends. They would cook out. They would hang out together because their kids are the same age. But she would tell her daughter, you know, like, he can't do this with another family because their relationship was so different. And so I just think that just to be mindful of that as you are in the dating years, like it's not, you know, you're just setting the stage. And like I said, I mean, this whole message is about grace and redemption and forgiveness. But you know, those are just good things, I think, for people to think about on the front end that, you know, and you know, I know a mom, too, she'd always tell her daughter, like, you know, you don't want to be in the Piggly Wiggly and running into a guy that is thinking, I had her, you know, you don't think about that in the teenage years. And so these are things that you kind of know as parents to tell your children because you see the long term 30 or 40 years later. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because with the Christian message, you're giving both sides of it. You're trying to help them see this is God's design for dating and marriage and sex. Like in this context, it's good. You want them to know that, but then you also want them to know that when you slip or when somebody slipped, there's so much grace and forgiveness there too. And it's so hard to put both of those nuggets into the big picture. Mm-hmm. But one thing I think that helped my girls too, that I thought was a visual that I thought this was so smart. It was one of those like sex talks they give at one of the local churches. And the parents went to one session and the kids went to another session. And the only thing that my kids remembered that I thought was so powerful, but they said they did this illustration. They had two pieces of construction paper and they both had glue on them. And they basically said, they're like, you know, sex is a glue. And so sex before marriage can glue you to the wrong person, basically. Mm-hmm. So they put the two pieces of paper together and said, okay, so this is what happens when you have sex. And then you can pull the pieces together. You can pull the paper apart, but pieces of the paper are still in the other one. And so I thought that was, you know, like I said, there's so much grace and forgiveness, but I think that's a good way if somebody's trying to have this conversation with their child, like, why does it matter? Like, why does God, in an ideal world, this is his best plan, you know, for marriage.
Yeah.
I just think those are important conversations to have up front while still talking about grace and forgiveness and
Definitely.
All of that too.
I love that because I feel like either, you know, the world gives in to all those desires because it feels so good. And it's like, why would God give me these desires and then tell me to wait till I'm like 20 something or maybe 30 something to get married to like satisfy them? But I think, or it's either that, like people give into how, like feeling good, no matter what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people in the church that do address it just make you feel shame for having those desires.
Right.
And it's like God put the desire in you, like to have sex with your husband that loves God too in the context of marriage, because it bonds you with him.
Right.
And so don't feel shame for like having those desires. Just understand that they're in the right context. It's like a fire. You know, a fire is a beautiful thing that brings warmth to like everyone around it. But if you light a fire in the middle of a living room, it's going to cause destruction and burn the whole house down and like maybe kill you. And like, but a fire in a fireplace, like that's where it's intended to be. And I've heard sex described as that, like the fireplace being the context of marriage. But I do just want to remove any shame. Like if you've already messed up and gone way too far sexually, like what Miss Carrie said, there's no shame. And like God definitely put that desire in you just to be satisfied at the right time. And something I always love to remember is Psalm 103 that says, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He who forgives your sin, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with mercy and compassion, and who satisfies your desires with good things. And I feel like that's just such a powerful prayer that all of us can pray. It's like, God, I'm 17 years old. I have these desires. Will you satisfy them with good things? Because he will. I mean, like, he absolutely will.
Okay, y'all, this has been so good. I mean, and I've got so many thoughts going. And I guess I just, you know, as we're starting to kind of wrap up here, and just I'm hoping to end with a word of encouragement for whoever's listening. I know it might be moms, but it might be girls. It might also be some guys. I think moms will definitely send this to their sons. And so, Will, I would love to hear your opinion of, like, knowing what you know now, you know, you now know your future wife, like if you had known this at 14 or 15, just, you know, what you wish you had known at the time, or maybe what you wish you had done differently, and how you are using your experience to help those behind you. And again, I just want to say that, you know, as parents too, we know we are working against a really hard culture that, you know, sex is everywhere and it is so normalized. I mean, I'll be on Instagram sometimes and I'm just looking at the For You page and I see a hiney in my feed and I'm like, what? I didn't even click on something. Like, why is this? It's just out there. And I'm like, I can imagine for a guy now, and phones and pornography. And like I said, everything is just so sexualized and normalized. And so as parents, that's what we're working against. It's like they're not hearing these messages and they're like, well, this doesn't sound like much fun. You know, this is what everybody else is doing and it looks pretty fun and they say it's okay. So what would you do? I guess what would you tell those younger boys coming up behind you based on your experiences?
Yeah, I think obviously, yes, society tells us a lot of things. And I was told, we were all told at a young age, like, you know, porn is fun. Getting girls is fun. You should do that. That's also what makes you cool and what makes you impressive. And we started to measure our worth by the attention that girls gave us. And if we could get like the prettiest girl, you know, we kissed the prettiest girl here. We did that, whatever. And you combine like those young kind of instinctive thoughts with like the accessibility to porn, the accessibility to people's bodies. And all of a sudden that's how we gauged ourselves, and our worth was on what girls we could get or what we could do. And, I just think like it's sad, but you have to go contrary to what society tells us. And that's why you have to seek it out and ask, seek, knock. Like when you look for the Lord, he will tell you and he will show you things. But I think the thing that I wish I knew more than anything is that when we sin, like when we choose to sin, it will leave scars that last. And it's a good image of like the Lord will heal all of the wounds. He will heal every single wound, but you will leave some scars. Mm-hmm. And Mary Lauren has to deal with my scars. They're not just my own scars. And that's what I didn't think about, was like, if you told me like, Will, you're gonna have to, you know, deal with whatever you did, like you have to pay for your past, like, okay, the consequences to my actions, if I have to deal with the consequences, that's fine. But now Mary Lauren has to deal with the consequences too, because of the choices that I made. And that is what like I just didn't understand or didn't know or anything like that, that like she has to deal with the fact that I've done things with girls, like that I've taken from her, like what God created for marriage to be like the first, the only person, you know. And It's just, there's just so much of a deeper consequence and a scar than I expected. But then also to sort, like you were talking about parents and how hard it is for parents, and like I can't imagine doing that. But I think it's also important to know, we were talking about this today, like to any parents, I mean, like if your child has a testimony, like it's not a reflection of bad parenting if your child has a testimony. And I think any way, like even if your child is wayward, like right here in this moment, like the Lord's just so faithful to like bring everybody back to Him. And like when you look for Him, you find Him. And I just think about my mom. I remember when I shared my testimony at church, and somebody recorded it, and my sister like sent it to my mom, and she was like, "This is so cool." And my mom was hearing it, some things for the first time, and my sweet mom, and it like made her sad a little bit of like, I can't believe that like I let this happen on my watch, or that I, and that's another thing that you don't think about having to deal with, is like my own mom, who is amazing, you know, that that I just made my own choices, and she felt like it was a reflection of her. But like what's kind is by the way she lived and by the way that she like parented me, like I had a high standard for a woman of what I expected in a wife, she because of the way my mom lived. She set the example.
Yes. Your mom is amazing.
She's amazing. She's so amazing. And mom, I love you. I didn't clear this story with you before I got on this podcast, but I hope it's okay.
she responded the way any of us would respond. Exactly. And you raised a great point, especially now that I have kids in college. I get a lot of emails from moms with kids in college, and a lot of them had like the perfect Christian growing up, and their child's now in college and they're breaking their heart and messing up. And I don't always have time to address it in an email. I've talked about it in books, but the, you know, I think as parents, we've got to realize that they're humans.
Yeah.
And what I see from a lot of parents is we can get so stuck in blaming ourselves or where we went wrong, but your mom did not do this, because now she celebrates you sharing your testimony. But parents can get so stuck in taking it personally that they have a hard time showing love to that child. Like they'll say, it's just hard for me to love them. It's hard for me to look at them right now. I know, and it breaks my heart, because I'm thinking that is actually when your child needs you the most, is when they have messed up like that. Like that's when, I mean, I'm not saying make every conversation about the mistakes that they're making, but that's when you've got to go make those efforts to build that relationship, because you want to have a voice in their life. You don't want to lose that connection and that voice. If they are off the rails, that's when they need you most. And so for so many parents, that's the instinct, is to withdraw until they shape up, you know? But again, I mean, if you're parenting in faith, that's just like, you've got to trust God. Like, God, they are yours. And I know, I'm just going to trust you with this. I'm praying for my child. And just know, I mean, that there's no telling what He can do with anybody's story. And that's why we need these testimonies and these examples that I think give hope. I think it'll give hope to a lot of moms, a lot of dads too, probably out there, that just don't give hope. Don't give up on your child just because of what they're doing at 16 or 18 or 20 or even 25 or 30. Like, all of us are a work in progress, and God is not done writing our stories.
Yeah, and it takes faith to believe that.
Yes.
To live, like, to decide to live in faith over fear, we all have to decide that every single day of our lives.
Yes.
It takes faith to believe that He really has set someone free. You know, it takes faith to believe if I let my child go, like, the Lord will draw him back to Himself. You know, like, it takes a lot of faith. I can't imagine being a mom and having to just trust, okay, like, what am I supposed to do? Let them fly in the wind and, like, fall flat on their face? But oftentimes, yes, it's like you look at the prodigal son. It's like he was released to go, and like a pig to its vomit, just returning back to sin after sin after sin. But we forget that, like, no one comes to the Father unless He draws them. Like, it's all the Father, and it's all His timing that draws someone back to Himself. And instead of channeling all that emotion into, like, control, or like trying to just grip them tight with your fingers and not let them be in the world, we should channel it in, like, prayer and being like, God, please reveal Yourself to my child. Like, I'm praying that, Lord, please reveal Yourself to my friend. Like, I want to just grab by the ears and be like, listen to this. Like, this is what You're doing. This is what's truth. But God is so patient with me in my waywardness and in my sin. You know, like, I can be patient and prayerful for my friends who don't yet know Him yet. But another thing too is just like, I feel like everyone listening to this, whether you're single, dating, engaged, married, it's just to think about, like, what is your deepest desire? Because if it is for the perfect husband, or just to get married ASAP, or like for as many boyfriends as possible, whatever, like, you're never going to be satisfied if it's anything other than the Lord. And something that's really blessed me is, like, you know, when I ask, like, ever since I was little. Like, I dreamed about my husband. Like, I didn't dream about the engagement ring. I didn't dream about my wedding or, like, the wedding dress. I dreamed about, like, him. Like, and I think that's so natural for little girls, is to dream about who they're going to marry. But the deepest desire, you know, more than the perfect, like, the dream husband, is, like, to expand God's kingdom. Like, that is the number one desire. And what gets me fired up more than anything, like, Will has so many things. Like, he's so cute. He's so fun to be around. Adds to every area of my life, like friendships, family, ministry, which was a fear. For some reason, I was scared that whoever I date was going to take away from the things God was calling me to do. But it's actually the opposite. When someone is from the Lord, he adds to other things in your life that are from the Lord. And that's the best part of it, because at the end of the day, like, God's kingdom will be expanded more, like, in my life and in marriage, because Will is so after his kingdom. And so his past and his story, like, falls in that category of, like, things God's going to use to expand his kingdom. Mm-hmm. And when you view someone through that lens, you have all the grace in the world for someone who's made a mistake, because you're like, how can you despise or resent something that God is using, you know?
Right.
And I just want to remember that, because, you know, it can be, I know that we're all one step away from forgetting and from living in fear and insecurity versus, like, faith and confidence that God is who he said he is. And when he sets someone free, they're free indeed. And I need to hear that reminder every day of my life. So I'm going to go back and listen to this probably.
Oh, it's so good. And I think the bottom line is that God is the author of all of our stories.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All of our stories are so unique, you know, our stories, individuals, and then when you're a couple, when you're getting married, you have a story together.
Right.
And so he's writing a unique story. He's right. Writing a beautiful story with the two of you.
Thank you.
But I think as parents, any parents that are listening, if your child is the one, you know, making those decisions, I say this all the time when I speak, I meet so many people in ministry that were the wild child, and they mm-hmm. are doing amazing things for God now, mm-hmm. and they are just so good at their job, and just... Yeah. Keep praying and just keep planting those good seeds and mm-hmm. just keep loving your child through ups and downs, no matter what choices they're making, mm-hmm. Just to keep that voice in their life and to keep that connection. And just know that God's working in all of our lives at different times, and we can pray for whether it's our friend or our spouse or our future husband or future wife. Just be praying for all of our hearts to open to his grace and his goodness, and just to the truth that he has for us through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you too for coming on. This was a great conversation, and I know it's going to help a lot of people. So thank you for your courage and sharing your story, Will, and also Mary Lauren for sharing your side of it. I know it's not easy, but this is such an important part of y'all's testimony, and I think it's going to help a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm so grateful to have you here. And if you enjoyed the show, please follow the Girl Mom Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen, and leave a ratings or review so others can find these messages too. Also, my new book for moms called More Than a Mom, How Prioritizing Your Wellness Helps You and Your Family Thrive, is now available everywhere books are sold. This book is for girl moms and boy moms, and full of encouragement no matter what season of parenting you're in. Find the link to this book and my other books in the show notes. Thanks again for your support, and have a great day.